Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the one and only Rock and Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, yes. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
From far and wide and light years away, cast from the shadows and I light my way.
You think you know me?
Just a
sexy
boy.
Welcome to the one and only Rock and Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Nick. We've got a great episode today. We're returning to the world of rock and metal with lead singer, rhythm guitarist of thrash band Havoc, David Sanchez. He's my guest today. It's a phenomenal interview. We recorded it just a couple weeks towards the end of April when their new record came out at the top of last month. It's a phenomenal record. Go check it out wherever you get records, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube. They have a great music video we talk about. So we talk about the history of the band, influences, very, very cool stuff. It's a blast. Always love talking to bands like this. But before we get into that, last week's episode with Corey Ryan Forster got some great feedback. Funny guy, great conversationalist. Have to have him on again. And then finally, keep up with the show on all social media platforms, including the old Twitter machine at Nick's R&W Podcast, Facebook, Nick's Rock and Wrestling Podcast, Instagram, Rock and Wrestling Podcast. You know where to go for the Patreon page, patreon.com/RNW Podcast, merchandise at Pro Wrestling Tees, and Rock and Wrestling Podcast.com. Leave a 5-star review if you think I've earned it. I appreciate all the support, man. I can't believe episode 124. And I want to take a real quick minute, man, just at the top, the world, it's crazy right now. The pandemic, everything going on with social justice and protesting, and I am all for that. I just wanted to touch on that real quick, man. I don't approve of like any looting or violence, but you know, definitely something's eventually going to be changed. I have many African American friends. I'm right behind them. Black lives do matter. I truly believe that, and this crap has got to stop. I just wanted to throw that out there on the platform, and I also wanted to give a major shout out to a clothing brand. They do a hell of a job. I actually ordered this killer Dennis Rodman shirt that I can't wait for to come in the mail here in a couple of weeks. If you go over, they're called Off the Rope. You can find them on Instagram at Off the Rope. You can see all they have some great stuff. They have some great Stone Cold stuff, some great like NWO themes, but the Rodman shirt is just fucking killer. That's the one I ordered. Go check out their stuff. They got some great stuff, some DDP stuff, just some great wrestling customized shirts that's bad ass stuff. So go check it out. Off the Rope over at Instagram. I told them I'd give them a shout out because they've helped brother out. They got, you know, friendly people too, man. So give them a shout out. But without further ado, I'm gonna stop yakking and we're gonna get into now the interview with David Sanchez from Havoc. Havoc is a, you know, great thrash band, killer stuff, very old school kind of thrashing with the modern update, you know, Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax influence, but they've updated, you know, it's a more modern take on it. We talk all about them, their new record, everything. So without further ado, on the other side, lead singer, rhythm guitarist from Havoc, David Sanchez. All right, it's a pleasure to have on the show, one of, I guess you could say, a pretty legendary thrash band in your own right. It's lead frontman, rhythm guitarist, lead singer, David Sanchez from the band Havoc. How's it going, David? It's a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm a little bit terrified right now, but, you know, that's the way they want me to be, right?
Exactly. Well, let's start there, because you're the first guy I've had a chance to interview, musician-wise, since everything has kind of gone down. So talk from just your standpoint, not necessarily, you know, obviously not being able to be on the road or anything like that, but just kind of how you're kind of coping with, and we'll get into all the specifics because you guys got a new album coming out and everything, but just how are you handling being quarantined, more or less?
Well, I mean, I work from home a lot, and I generally only kind of go out when shows are happening, so this isn't really that different from me. But overall, I mean, I think this whole thing is a complete overreaction versus how dangerous the virus is, or, you know, how dangerous they say it is. We've already had to cancel a couple of tours because of this crap, and we're supposed to be going to Europe for some festivals in July, August, but I'm not entirely sure that's going to happen. It's really hard to say at this point. Things keep evolving so quickly, and as we've both seen, like, just tours left and right are all dropping so quickly.
Yeah, there are, man. And I, you know, on the show, I cover professional wrestling as well, and the big thing they've been continuing to do is they haven't canceled. They've had, obviously can't have fans there, but they've able to, since they have TV, have no crowd there, so they just do matches with no crowd, which it's interesting and different. But, you know, from the music side of things, you know, especially rock and metal, you know, especially metal being, you know, you can't go out and play a show with no fans or anything, so, you know, it makes it difficult. I mean, yeah, I'm with you. I've seen shows and tours getting canceled left and right. I know there's a bunch of big summer tours coming up, you know, that are more than likely going to get canceled. I know, you know, probably for a guy, band guys like you, the festival season's huge for your income, and not to have that, it can be kind of scary.
Yeah, I think obviously everyone's going to feel the effects of this thing for quite some time. But I think in my mind, it's obvious that the entertainment industry will be hit the hardest by all this crap because, you know, entertainment is a luxury. People aren't going to have money to go see movies or go to concerts or go to stand-up shows or things like that, plays or music, whatever. They're not going to have the money to go and spend on entertainment when they can't even pay rent or put food on their table. So I think entertainment industry is going to be feeling this much harder than most industries. And that's not to discount that everyone's going to be suffering and struggling through this, because we are. I just think it's a given that the entertainment will feel it a little harder than someone who has a quote unquote regular job.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's change the tune and talk about some positive stuff. You guys got a new record coming out May 1st called, I mean, depending on who you talk to, it's either V or 5, but since I know my Roman numerals, it's 5. Let's start and talk about the writing process, because I know on the last record you guys had a big tour cycle, so talk about the songwriting process and recording of this new record and how you guys went about going about this, because I know you guys wanted to really lock yourselves down and focus on the writing here, so talk about that.
Yeah, so we really, like, buckled down and got super we got super hunkered down into, like, writing mode. I want to say January of 2019, and we whipped out a bunch of stuff really fast because we had a really big riff pile, and it had been a long time since we had written. So I think naturally we just had a lot of ideas just, like, cooped up in our brain that we needed to purge, like, really quickly. And it did, luckily, that did happen. We got a lot of material put together, like, really quickly. And in just a month or two, we had the skeletons of every song kind of ready to go. After that, it was, we have a new bass player, and it was a matter of, you know, working with him to get the bass lines all fleshed out. And lyrically, I have some stuff ready to go. Kind of like a riff pile. I have like an idea, a lyric pile with like, you know, phrases that I like or concepts and, you know, certain phrases that might rhyme here or there. And I had a lot of that before we went into studio, but a lot of the lyrics didn't really come to full being up until we were actually out there in Tennessee and had begun the recording process.
Very, very cool. I know you guys worked with a producer that he's done a lot from Black Dahlia Murder and Cannibal Corpse. So was that helpful having him? You know, his name escapes me. I should have it here in my notes, but his name escapes me.
Mark Lewis.
There it is. Mark Lewis. How was it working with him? And you know, he's worked with some legendary bands. How did working with him, you know, contribute to this new record?
Well, a lot of the producer hat. So Mark did, a great job on the engineering side of things. Figuring out where to place mics, like what kind of tones we were going to be using, and you know, helping dial in sounds and stuff like that, very helpful. And as far as like producer goes, he definitely had more to say about vocal stuff, but musically, we kind of went in like pretty prepared, and hopefully made his job relatively easy. As far as being the producer of the music, because most of the time what we went in with was, pretty much completed song, but every once in a while there'd be a spot like, hey, I was thinking about doing A or B on this part right here. What do you think I should do? Here's A, here's B. And he would go, oh yeah, B. Like, all right, cool. Done. It wasn't like we went in there with no ideas and had to like do a bunch of pre-production and write songs from scratch and ask him like, hey, how should we write this chorus or things like that. We went in with a lot of our ducks in a row, as they say.
Yeah, which obviously, yeah, you said makes a lot easier. I've got an early advance and listened to the record. I was listening to it this morning, and the first takeaway for when people hear it, I don't know if they'll catch it, but I caught it, is the opening song with the fade in, and I don't know if it's the riff or something, but it really reminded me of Blackened off in Justice for All. I don't know if you guys were going for that, but it really had that feel, that fade in, and then to me, I felt like maybe there was a note or two in there that kind of was paying homage to that song. Any insight on that opening track?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the music that was a tip of the cap, but definitely like the production trick of, hey, let's take a guitar harmonized part and throw it in reverse and fade it in. Like, yeah, that was absolutely intentional, and it was 100% our little, hey, howdy do to Metallica. we discussed it before committing it to the record. We discussed, like, hey, is this too much like Blackened? And all of us were like, well, it is, like, very extremely reminiscent. But no, we've never heard any other band do it since they did it in 1988. So no one's done it in, you know, 32 years. So we basically said, like, yeah, fuck it. Like, we all like Metallica. No one else has done it in 30 years. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And we decided to do it.
I'm right there with you. I can't name a one band that's done it since then. And it took me back. It was kind of, I had nostalgic feels listening this morning because I was like, wow, man, I feel like a teenager again. Because I remember the first time I got Injustice for All, I'm like, it took so long. I was like, is the CD broken? Did I get a CD not working? And it took me back.
I thought the same thing the first time I ever heard that record.
Yeah, and then I had it on the computer. And I was like, "What's going on? Why is the first track not playing?" And then I hear the guitars coming. And I'm like, "Oh, it's kind of like Blackened." So yeah, I'm very cool, man. I've got to give you guys cool. That's very top to bottom, very good, solid, killer records, man. I can't wait for people to hear it.
Yeah, me too. I'm really stoked on how it came out, and I'm glad to hear that you dig it. Thanks for that.
Yeah, well, interesting, obviously, because kind of jumping back to where we were in the beginning of the conversation, usually when you guys, you know, you make a record and the record comes out, you're either on the road when it comes out or getting ready to go on the road. It, you know, obviously having this downtime with tours being non-existent right now. Is it giving you guys a little bit more time to kind of rehash into the material and look deeper and go, hey, maybe we can put a few more new songs in the set when we do get out there?
We've discussed that. We'll see where things go. At the moment, I know everybody's kind of busy, like, you know, working and moving and doing all kinds of different stuff. So we haven't really had a lot of time to, you know, get together on musical ideas. But it is something that we've discussed. And it is possible that before we hit the road, we'll have a couple of new songs that aren't even on this album. It's entirely possible.
That's cool. I always enjoy that. You know, I hate when people say, oh, that's my beer break when they play new music. I'm like, no, man, that's why they're out there, man. I just stay the whole time. I'm like, they've got a new record. That's why I'm going to see them.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you go out, everyone wants to hear the stuff from your last album, not the one that you just put out.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, most concert goers are like an album behind.
Yeah, it's weird too, because the music business being so different now that people buy, you know, whether it's singles or streaming or anything like that. And I wanted to get into that because you guys formed, you know, in 2004, and obviously this being your fifth record, you kind of were you in the old school model a little bit, and now it's the new school streaming, all that. Kind of tell me going through the different, you know, dynamics of the business model, because you kind of were in that middle ground coming up, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've not been one of those bands that, you know, went from like 0 to 100. All of our success has been completely built up over a long time, built more like a pyramid than a tower. So one good thing is that no one will ever be able to just come and swipe the rug out from under us. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a long journey, and it's not an industry to get into if you're not down to have your heart broken and be frustrated. And, you know, this isn't... The music industry, for the most part, is not a winning game. Like, it's not something to do to get rich real quick. Unless, of course, you know, you're playing some sort of incredibly popular music and your whole goal is to be a flash-in-the-pan success. Like, I guess you can do it, but even at that, it's very, very, very difficult.
It is, and that you bring that up, that's great, because as I mentioned, you know, covering pro wrestling, it's very, the two worlds are so similar, and larger than life characters and all kinds of things like that. But you know that for every huge, you know, Metallica or Hulk Hogan, there's 6,000 people that, you know, were a garage band or independent wrestler that never made it. So it's a great point. It's not, you know, they're two forms of entertainment getting into that. You better have thick skin, more or less.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you need to. Anytime you're going to be putting your own art or performing for people, anytime you're going to be doing that and putting it out there publicly, you're basically putting it out there to be criticized. And you better expect that it's going to be criticized, because it doesn't matter who you are. Like, every band ever, I think, probably has people talking shit about them on the internet.
No, yeah, they're absolutely some of my favorite bands, man. You know, Kiss was my first favorite band that got me into it, man, and I still take shit for liking Kiss. Oh, they're not good musicians. I'm like, that's not the point. They never were supposed to be good musicians.
Yeah, they're not up there to play Beethoven.
Exactly. One thing, going through and kind of looking at some of the shows and tours you've done recently, I wanted to talk about, you guys did a show back last year in 2019 in Tijuana on the bill was Guns N' Roses. Talk about an experience like that, because Guns N' Roses is my all-time favorite band, and there, I can't imagine that was, you know, especially in Tijuana, was probably an exciting show to play.
Yeah, it was really cool. We played outdoors. Is that like a soccer stadium down there in Tijuana, and unfortunately the very next day we had a show in Fresno, California, which is quite a far drive from Tijuana, especially if you're dealing with the U.S. border. So it really sucks. Unfortunately, we had to leave the festival before GNR even started. So because we didn't want to catch their set, and then, you know, instead of the U.S. border taking 10 minutes, it would take, you know, 3 hours. We didn't want to run into that problem, especially with, you know, having to play headline the next day and needing to load in at 3 o'clock p.m. and, you know, having a fairly long drive. So, unfortunately, it didn't all work out to where we could actually hang at that festival and enjoy their show. But it was cool nonetheless. At that festival, I remember during one of our... before one of our songs, I had a top hat and some aviator sunglasses that I brought down there just for that show, and I kind of walked out on stage and intentionally like butchered the intro of Sweet Child of Mine. After it all you know, went off the rails and just fizzled out, I took off my glasses and hat and threw them out in the crowd, and we started playing a song.
That's great. I love that, man. And that's, you say butcher Sweet Child of Mine. That's funny to me. I'm a guitar player myself, and anytime I, you know, that was like one of the first riffs I ever wanted to learn, and like it's I got so many times learning it. I'm like, man, I'm butchering this so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the easiest thing in the world to play, but it's way easier when you're intentionally fucking up the notes and playing it like a total asshole.
Exactly.
It's way easy to play it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very easy to play wrong. So talking about the kind of the new record, and this is being you guys' fifth record. I'm curious. You know, I've been following you guys since you've been coming up, and you know, obviously, we know kind of your influences: very thrash, Testament, Metallica. You know, we've kind of mentioned a few of the bands. I'm curious, when you were coming up and you were starting to tour with bands, I won't make this comparison, but, you know, sometimes when a band sounds 80s, I hate when people say, oh, they sound 80s. Did you guys catch any flack of like, oh, they sound like a thrash band? They sound like they're from trying to be part of the Big Four? Because it's weird how 80s rock, you know, if you sound like 80s rock bands, it's negative connotation, but, oh, they sound like a thrash band. That's cool. Did you guys get any of that? I don't want to say negative criticism or positive, you know, comparison.
Well, you know, there's always going to be people that don't think it's cool to play something that used to be popular and now isn't. But, you know, with our band, like, yeah, we have a lot of that influence, but it's not like exactly our sound. I think there's a lot of more interesting musical variations in our sound, as well as influences that are a lot more modern than anything that existed back in the heyday of thrash. But there's always going to be people that will fucking rip on you for, oh, this doesn't sound new to me, you know? And that's fine, you know, there's always going to be people that hate on stuff and talk shit. But I honestly don't hear a whole lot of bands playing the kind of music, the kind of metal that we play today. Sure, there's a lot of albums from back in the day that have a similar vibe to what we are putting out right now. But as far as metal goes, like, I'm not hearing a whole lot of content come out that sounds fast and tight and heavy like old thrash metal. I don't hear a whole lot of that coming out these days, because metal's gotten turned into so many different forms. And a lot of what's popular is not like the kind of stuff we do. The stuff that's really riff oriented, and where you can actually understand the words.
That's the big thing. Yeah, understand the words, man. I'm all good for heaviness and good riffs, but man, yeah, that to me, that I like a little melody and harmony, you know, in especially in the vocals. I'm like, you know, give me a little bit of that in there mixed in, and you guys do that, so I commend you for that.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, people are always going to rip on stuff, whether you're the greatest band in the world or you really do suck. Like, it doesn't matter. People are always going to trash you. So I don't really pay much attention to that stuff. Whether someone is giving us amazing praise or giving us terrible criticism, I take both of those things with a grain of salt. I don't really let either of those things get into my head because it's just someone else's opinion. What really matters to me is what my own opinion of the music is.
Absolutely. Another about the new album, man. The artwork is killer, man. How'd you guys come up with that artwork, man? Because it's kind of reminiscent of like a classic, album artwork, whether it's Rust in Peace or Master Puppets, But it's very cool. How did you guys come up with that, or who designed it exactly?
Well, the artist that did it, his name is Eliran Cantor, and he's done artwork for Testament, Hatebreed, Soulfly, Hate Eternal. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. And I gave him the concept and basically left him with the concept and the note that we want it to look like Caravaggio meets Dolly. And he totally nailed it.
Yeah.
All of us are really happy with where it came out. It's super trippy, but it's kind of it has a very strong surrealist vibe.
Yeah.
It looks realistic, but at the same time, very, very not and very abstract.
Yeah. And along the lines with the new record, you guys have a music video out right now. And I have to, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody that actually has epilepsy, but you guys put a little disclaimer at the beginning. And to me, it kind of cracked me up a little bit just because it was like, oh, by the way, if you do have anything, don't watch this music video. I just kind of cracked me up because you don't see like disclaimers like that anymore necessarily.
Yeah.
And it cracked me up. I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's appropriate, though. I've even heard from some people that watched the video. They were like, oh, I saw the disclaimer. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And then I watched the video and I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I saw it. I was like, oh. And then I was like, well, we'll see what. I was like, oh, okay. I probably a good idea.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. I don't want someone to fucking die watching our music video.
As we wind down here, I'd love to do with all my guests, if anybody's not familiar with the band, where can they check your music out? Where can they check you on the social media? That's a big part. All that for you guys.
Well, we're pretty easy to find on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. You just need to make sure you look for us with a K, Havok. You can find us on Instagram, Havok Band Official. I think Facebook is Havok Official, and I think our Twitter is Havok Thrash. And all of them, it's Havok with a K, Havok. That's the biggest thing if you're ever going to look for our band.
Awesome. And then finally, obviously the record comes out May 1st, but I love to ask everybody this. Do you have a favorite song to play live when you guys put your set together? Is there one like you look forward to every night when you're playing a particular set?
A lot of our songs are actually really fun to play live. I don't know if I necessarily have one favorite, but I really like playing Intention to Deceive is a really fun song to play. And I really like playing the song Fatal Intervention from our second record.
Awesome. David, it's been a pleasure, man. We'll have to have you on again, and hopefully you'll be out here in Sacramento once touring starts up. I'll definitely have to come see you again because I've seen you guys a couple times, and you kill it every time.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, we'll definitely have to come over there to the capital city.
Want to thank David Sanchez, lead singer, rhythm guitar player from Havok, for joining me on the show. Great conversation. Check out their new record. Check out all their music. Great band. Once touring is back up, make sure you go check them out when they're out on the road, when they come to a town near you. Once again, everybody stay safe out there, man. It's a crazy time, crazy world we're living in. And we're going to be back next week with John, who is a lead singer from, you may know him from Blind Guardian, but he also has a side project called Demons and Wizards. We interviewed when their new album came back. It had been a big, long time between the two records. So he will be out on the show next week right here, man. Episode 125, we're just killing it and rocking and rolling. So I appreciate everybody's support. Until then, much love and happiness. Peace. I'm out.